Amen. Thanks, team. Hey, welcome everyone. Good morning. I'm Pastor David, and I'm so glad to see you here this morning. I want to wish you a good morning if you're in the room with us in person, if you're watching online at home or wherever you are, anywhere in the world joining us at Appleton Gospel Church. I'm so glad that you decided to be a part of this church community today. And I just want to also say, if you are wondering more about who we are and what we're all about or what kind of ministry we do here as a church, what we believe, anything like that, or if you have questions or prayer requests, please grab one of the Connect cards at that back little info table. Fill that out. You can drop it in the giving box on the way out if you'd like, because I really would love to be able to actually connect with you and talk with you if you'd like. So. Otherwise, just stick around, come up and talk to me after the service if you'd like. If you're online, you can fill that out at appletongospel.com/connect. Just have a couple quick announcements for you as we continue our service. The first is this, two things for you this morning. First is this. So I've been telling you for the last few weeks that we have a bunch of groups and Bible studies and things starting up this month that are designed to help you grow in your friendships here in the church and also help you grow in your faith. Those are really the two purposes of those groups. Now, we have our kids ministry back up and running. Our elementary age kids ministry, Gospel Kids Midweek, is on Tuesday evenings. Youth group is on Wednesday evenings. Both of those are going to be right here at the church building. And then we have a number of other community groups, a women's Bible study, and those types of things starting. I did want to call your attention to one thing, new thing that's starting this week. On Thursday evening, I'm going to be leading a 10-week study on the Ten Commandments. So I couldn't do it in any less than 10. And so we're going to be doing that to start with on Zoom online, but we're just going to have to see how it goes. If we're able to eventually do that in person, I would much prefer that. I'm sure you would too. So you can get more information on that 10 Commandments study. You can register for that. You can find out more information on some of the other groups that are meeting right now at appletongospel.com/events. And you can, otherwise, again, just ask me. You know, if you're like, I totally was zoning out when you were talking about the groups, would you tell me again? I will. Secondly, as a church, our mission is sharing good news. We're going to talk about that a lot, actually, today. And our vision is that good news, the gospel of Jesus, will transform the people of the city in every way. That's what we long to see here in Appleton as a church. And we couldn't accomplish either of those, really, without your financial support. And so when you give to the church, you are directly supporting the worship, community, ministry, and mission of our church. And so today, if you'd like to give any amount, you can use the giving boxes on the back wall. You can go to appletongospel.com/give. Or you could even text an amount you'd like to give to 84321, and the cloud will figure out what to do next. So I just want to say thank you so much to those of you who are so faithful in giving. Let's pray as we continue our worship today. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church. Father, I'm just so encouraged to be able to gather together to pray, to sing, to preach, to serve, to give all of these things in worship to you. So we are your people, and we have gathered to worship your name. Father, would you be glorified today? And now as we open your word, Father, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might receive what you would have to say to us with faith, that we might believe you, that we might obey you in faith, that we might be shaped and transformed by your word into the likeness of Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So all year we're focusing on the person and work of Jesus. I don't know if you knew that or if you've seen any of the graphics that we've produced for the last couple months, but today we're going to last week, we started a new series in this big theme of the person and work of Jesus called Saved by Grace. And in this series, we're trying to better understand the doctrines of our salvation in Christ. In the person and work of Jesus, this is more focused, if you will, on the work of Jesus. Of course, the person was involved as well. But also, this series, as I shared last week, is a little deeper theological dive because I'm kind of a nerd. But my hope is that you will see that good theology is actually very practically helpful for you in your life. Now, last week we started by considering the doctrine of election and the good news that it is God who saves. We do not save ourselves, but we saw last week that it was before the creation of the world that God chose in Christ to save us. And so our salvation begins and ends in Him. Well, today we get to move on to the doctrine of proclamation, of the need to hear the gospel and believe it to be true for our salvation. And true confession, as a preacher, this is maybe my favorite message in this series. So I'm excited to bring you into this doctrine of proclamation today. If you have a Bible or your Bible app, please grab it and open it to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 9. Romans 10, starting in verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen behind me as well. Verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching to them? And how will anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is God's word. So, as I said last week, the book of Romans in the Bible is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Christians in the city of Rome, the capital city. Now, this was very early on, within about 20 years or so of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And at this point in Paul's letter, we find Paul in the middle of a kind of a long discussion about why the people of Israel largely failed to recognize or accept or believe that Jesus was the Messiah that God had promised for the people of Israel. Now, this had initially included Paul too, because Paul was not a Christian. He was not a follower of Jesus. He was a persecutor of Christians in the Jewish faith. Until, on the road to Damascus, Paul had this vision of Jesus, the risen, alive Jesus, high and lifted up from the throne room of heaven. Hard to argue with that. But it was only when he saw Jesus did Paul go from being a persecutor of Christians to becoming one of the most effective missionaries for Christ that the world has ever seen. So why, despite his broad education and his great religious passion and zeal, was it so hard for Paul to see the truth about Jesus? And why had many of his people missed that the Messiah had come? Well, our text today reveals the source of the problem for many in Israel and many people today, but it also carries us forward in our understanding of our salvation in Christ, specifically with this doctrine of proclamation or the need to hear and believe the gospel. So let's work through this text together. Look back at verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth or confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So I'll never forget reading these two verses to a friend of mine who for years didn't want to have anything to do with faith or God, didn't want to talk about it. But in God's timing, It was at the end of his life when he became open to talking about faith. And I read these two verses to him. And after listening to Paul and thinking for a minute, he started saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And from that moment through the end of his life, he was completely changed. He was a new man in Christ. And so Paul only gives the briefest summary in this passage as to the content of the gospel, which he says is centered on the person and work of Jesus, specifically that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Now, isn't that interesting? Because if you've been a Christian for a while, you might think, he left out a lot of the story, didn't he? I mean, there's quite a bit more to the gospel than that only. What about sin and death and hell, right? What about eternal life and the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit and the new heaven and the new earth and the return of Christ? What about the past? What about the present? What about the future? I mean, there's a lot of detail that Paul doesn't include. Now, why would he do that? I think the reason is because really that's what the whole book of Romans is about. What is the gospel? Why do we need it? What does it do? In fact, that's really what the whole Bible is about. The whole Bible really is the story about who God is, what he's done in the past, what he's doing today, what he's promised for the future, in and through his Son and Spirit. So if we were to communicate the entire sweeping breadth of the gospel, we would be here a very long time. In fact, maybe for the rest of our lives. As a church, we're focusing on the person and work of Jesus for this whole year, but we're not going to cover it all. We're only going to scratch the surface, maybe only hit the high points, because we'll spend the rest of our lives growing in our understanding of and our belief in the gospel or good news of Jesus. Now, some of you might have grown up with the idea that the gospel was like a can of Coke, that no matter where in the world you go, no matter who you're with, the can of Coke looks and tastes the same. You could fly around the world and land in some country you've never heard of and speaks a language you've never considered, and you'll find a red can of Coke there somewhere. Now, the gospel is not like that. One of the interesting things about it is that when you actually read the Bible, whenever the gospel is summarized, it's true that certain elements of the message are consistent. In fact, very often are included, such as sin and the need for redemption, or the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's kind of a big deal. Or you might find something about the love of God or eternal life or judgment and faith. These are consistent elements in talking about the gospel in the Bible. But the message is never repeated exactly the same way twice. There isn't a secret formula that stays the same no matter what. In fact, remember the series we just went through of how did Jesus deal with people? Well, there were different messages every week in that series because Jesus dealt with every single person differently. He approached them differently. He had a different way of talking with them and inviting them to lean into him in faith and live this life that God has created them to live. He never has the same conversation twice. He doesn't have one gospel presentation. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus or the apostles were confused about the content of the gospel or that there were multiple gospels, different gospels. It just means that the gospel of God's grace is so incredibly rich and multifaceted, there are many different ways that you can talk about salvation. Depends on who you're talking to and what you're talking about. You might emphasize one part of the story or leave out part of the story, another part altogether. That doesn't mean that the gospel changes, but the context for proclaiming the gospel changes all the time. Well, let's continue in verse 11. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see the width of this invitation? All, everyone, anyone, even you today. Well, here Paul quotes two different verses from the Old Testament, because he wants to demonstrate that this is how God has always worked. Salvation has always been on the basis of faith. That wasn't just invented by Jesus or the apostles. The idea that God is mean and angry in the Old Testament, while in the New Testament he's loving and kind, he kind of mellowed out over time, that is simply not true. God is love and has always been love. While God is just and always has been just, and God saves by grace through faith and has always saved people that way. You can see it all through the Bible. Paul gives us two quotes from the Old Testament, one from Isaiah 28. Anyone who, what? Believes in God, trusts in God, relies on him, will never be put to shame. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Interesting that Paul applies the name of the Lord to Jesus Christ here. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time covering this because we'll get to it a lot more when we get to the doctrine of justification. But it's important to note, I want you to see here now how shockingly different this message of the gospel would have sounded for the typical Roman or the typical person first century AD. This would have been wildly different than what they were used to, because people were used to the idea that it was not by faith that you were saved, but it was by your own goodness, your good deeds, or by the sacrifices or offerings that you made that for God, by the way, or the gods. Those are the basis of your acceptance and blessing by God or the gods. That was normal. And even today, most people in our culture, most people in the Fox Valley today, believe the same thing. They believe that God exists, but they assume that any good thing that comes from him must be on the basis of what you do. I think this is why the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How did they answer him? They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Believe. You are to have faith. This is the news of the gospel, and it's shocking, or it should be, that God has already done everything needed to accomplish your salvation in the person and work of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. God has already paid the price for sin and has made a way for you to have peace and life and love and joy with God. So to believe this news is the only response that's needed from you in the moment you hear. The work is already done. It is finished, as Jesus said from the cross. But the world has never heard a message like that before, anywhere or any time. It's even interesting to think that if the church, early church, made this up, where would they have gotten the idea from? Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how, can I hear an amen? I mean, this you could get into this a little bit. We can talk together. How can they hear without someone preaching them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet, it's kind of weird, of those who bring good news. All right, it is a little strange. But Paul was steeped in the Old Testament enough to include that quote. All right, Paul, he moves from the message of salvation, which is the gospel, to the method of delivering that message. And I don't fully understand this. But in the infinite wisdom and goodness of God, God decided to entrust his message, the message of the gospel, to whom? To us, to people who've heard and believed the gospel, people who are filled with the Spirit and bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, people who are trying to follow the way of Jesus at home, at work, at school, in all of life. So people are God's chosen method to deliver his message of salvation. We have been sent with a message that needs to be shared. Now, it's true that the gospel was authenticated by the apostles, who were witnesses, eyewitnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They were there for his miracles. They were there for his ministry. They were there for his resurrection appearances. They authenticated. They could verify that that message was, in fact, true. But the apostles were not the only ones who were sent to share this message. And I love that it says preach. Some people resist the idea of preaching, but that just simply means to communicate through speech. Unless you can communicate through another method, you're going to be preaching if you share your faith with someone. Now, we see evidence of this in the early church. I am not making this up, okay? Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. That is, throughout the regions around the city of Jerusalem. Listen to this. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Notice that everyone except the apostles were scattered. And what did they do? They preached the word. They shared the message about Christ wherever they went. Now, these weren't only pastors or ministry leaders or even community group leaders, okay? These were just people who were followers of Christ. They hadn't gone to seminary and then were commissioned or ordained to go out. They were just people who were following Jesus in those places. These were men and women whose lives had been transformed to a degree by good news. So if you were a Christian in Jerusalem in first century AD, it would have been normal for you to talk about Jesus, probably not all the time, but at least some of the time, with your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers. It would come up at some point. And some of them would not be interested, of course, but some would be. It was just a natural part of your life. And then if you like moved away for work, or in this case you were being persecuted and you had to flee to a different city or even country, well, you just talk about Jesus there too. And historically, we know that this is exactly how Christianity spread from a couple hundred people in the east of the Mediterranean Sea to becoming the dominant world religion in just a couple hundred years. Now, I know several people today who came to faith not by hearing, but by reading the Bible. They were just reading the Bible, and they believed it. But for much of world history, and for many people today as well, faith comes by hearing and believing. For much of world history, a paper copy of the Bible was like nowhere to be found. That was only something a few people had. It was very rare. But even today, when Bibles are everywhere and you can get them on your phone, faith often comes by hearing and believing. So whether it's audible speech, or whether it's the written word, or whether it's on your Bible app, on your phone, the word of God must enter your mind and be believed in your heart in order to become saving faith. Well, let's finish this passage in verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So the tragic truth is that even when people hear the gospel, it doesn't always result in them believing it and accepting it. Now, as I said, this passage is in the context of a bigger discussion of Paul where he is wrestling with why the people of Israel, his people, his friends, his family members, largely failed to recognize and accept and believe that Jesus was God's promised Messiah for Israel. How could that be? For Paul, this was not something that was cold, analytical, theoretical. These were people that he knew and loved, and he was in anguish over this. For if God was rescuing people from the power of sin and death by faith in the person and work of Jesus, then to reject the gospel is to reject the only way to be reconciled to God. For apart from Christ, people stand condemned already, separated from the life and the light and the love of God. And that situation, that status, that lack of relationship and life going on forever is what hell is. How could his people reject Christ? So Paul points out the fact that in the Old Testament, this happened then as well. Some of the people of Israel in many times and places rejected the word of God, spoken by the prophets, for example, Isaiah. Isaiah says, like, Lord, who is listening to me? Is anyone out there? So this has always been the case. Unfortunately, some people who hear God's word reject it in unbelief. Their hearts are hard towards God. They don't want to listen. They don't want to believe. Remember that there were many people who met Jesus face to face, but chose to walk away from him. Some even hated him and wanted to crucify him. As the Apostle John wrote, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But you have good news to share. For some people in the world today, the problem is one of hearing. They have never heard the gospel. They do not know about the good news of Christ, and they just need someone to tell them. For other people, the Bible hasn't yet been translated into their language, so they need someone to translate it for them so that they can hear this good news or read about it. For others, they think they know the gospel, but they really don't. So they need someone to teach them or to help them or to correct them in their understanding. But the problem for Israel, and sadly for many people today, is not a problem of hearing. It's a problem of believing. Israel had certainly heard the word of God. After all, they had the prophets. They had the apostles. They even had Jesus. But Paul says the problem, the reason why they missed the coming of the Messiah, was not an ear problem, it was a heart problem. They didn't believe. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people about their faith. Would you believe that comes up when I talk to them about like life and what I do? Or what do you do? Well, we're going to talk about Jesus now. I've talked to a lot of people about their faith, and as far as I can tell, the main religious story in the Fox Valley is that most people used to go to church. They aren't necessarily opposed to Christians or to the Christian faith. Some are, but most aren't. Some even consider themselves to continue to be Christians, even though that concept is kind of fuzzy. But they stopped going to church years ago, and many didn't even really remember why they decided not to do that anymore. At some point, they probably did hear the gospel, but it never really was seen as something that was real or powerful or helpful to them for their actual lives. They never believed it to be true. So what are we supposed to do about that? Church, what are we supposed to do about that situation in this community that we live in? How can we love and serve people who may need to hear or may need to believe the good news of Jesus? I'd like to close with just a few thoughts on what it means to live out the doctrine of proclamation today as a normal Christian in normal life. Now, it's true that some Christians are gifted to function a little bit more as evangelists, to lead the charge, you know, to be the one that asks deeper, harder questions more often of their friends and family members. But the truth is that every single Christian, even normal Christians, can share good news. Every Christian can share their testimony of what God has done for them in their lives. Every Christian can invite someone to read the Bible with them or to come to church with them. It's been my experience that many people are very open to talking about faith if you just ask them what they might believe. And they're at least curious to know what you might believe about Jesus. Now, for me, there are always a couple questions that may help open the door to conversations about faith or God or the gospel. You can be kind of weird and out there and just be like, what do you believe about God? And, you know, that might be slightly shocking in a conversation, but it may be effective in faith. But I wouldn't necessarily do that. I might say, in the context of a relationship, so did you ever go to a church when you were growing up? What was that like? That's an open door oftentimes. Or is faith an important thing to you? Faith is a really important thing to me. Is that important to you? What does that look like in your life? Sometimes simply a question of how can I be praying for you this week can be an open door to talk about faith. Another opportunity I found is when you hear people say things that kind of reveal they sound like they're trying to earn their salvation instead of believing in grace and faith. The grace of God is totally unique to Christianity. So it can be a good starting place for a conversation about Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, you're trying so, it sounds like you're trying really hard in life. That's different than what Christians believe about the grace of God. So if you feel skeptical about this, if you're like, yeah, okay, maybe you, but not me. In my experience, if you simply start to pray for people, you will not imagine the open doors that God will set before you, the opportunities that you might have to talk to people about your faith, to share good news with other people, to serve them, to love them, to listen to them, to befriend them. But what about those who have heard but don't believe? What about the people that like reject this outright? I know that some of you have friends and family members that do not believe in Jesus, even though you've shared with them several times, you've prayed for them for years, and maybe it's heartbreaking for you to think about that today. You are in anguish for them as Paul was for his people as well. So I think about the parable of the sower from Mark chapter 4, and this might be helpful for you in that circumstance. Jesus teaches that we are supposed to act like a farmer or a sower of seeds. The seed represents the gospel or the word of God. And in the parable, Jesus says that the farmer doesn't manufacture the seed, of course. The farmer doesn't control which seed takes root. And the farmer doesn't control the timing or the amount of growth for each particular seed. It's simply the farmer's job to plant the seeds, to water the seeds. And it's God's job to take care of the timing and the growth. So just because someone doesn't believe the gospel today doesn't mean that they won't ever believe it. Like my friend, they might believe it at the very end of their life. For Paul, he went from being a persecutor of Christians to becoming an effective Christian missionary. How do you like that transformation? But it was in God's timing. He even refers to his own faith as one who was abnormally born. It wasn't, his story was not normal. It was in God's timing. And so we must, as Christian people, as followers of Christ, remember that we are not Christ. We must remember our role in salvation. We do not manufacture the seed. This is God's message. He has given us the gospel. We do not control which seeds take root. That means we don't know what conversation might be helpful to someone, might lead them to faith in Christ. And we do not control the timing. We do not control the timing or the amount of growth. That is God's job. It is the wisdom of God and his love for us that directs his timing for salvation. It is always and only God who brings the growth. The truth is that we must trust in Jesus with the lives of the people we love. So God has chosen us in Christ from before the world began. So we are saved by grace. But we receive this grace when we hear the gospel and we believe it to be true. So we are saved by grace through faith. But you can't believe in Jesus if you don't hear about Jesus. And you only hear about Jesus when a follower of Jesus tells you about Jesus. Which is why, as a church, our mission is sharing good news. This is what we're all about, and this is what we're trying to do. Because God has entrusted us with the message that is the very power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is the doctrine of proclamation. We need to preach it, that the church is the Spirit-empowered method of God to bring the message of Christ to a world that is lost without him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for this time. I confess, I don't really understand why you've given this task to us. It seems like someone or something else would be a wiser or better or do a better job or be more consistent or whatever. But Father, you have, it's clear from your word, you have entrusted this message to us, your people. Father, would you give us your heart of love for the people in our lives? People who are lost without you. People who will not be rescued by us. People who will potentially be rescued by you. Help us to be faithful in this task of scattering the seed, of planting these seeds of good news in the lives of the people around us. Help us to grow in our ability to be wise about how to do that, about how to talk about our faith in a way that isn't off-putting or insulting or throws up unnecessary obstacles before other people. Help us to share with wisdom and compassion and respect and gentleness all the vast goodness that is found in the message of your gospel. God, I pray for all of us that we would believe it, that we would believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, that we would say with our mouths, that we would declare and confess with our lives, Jesus is Lord of my life. And in our faith, Father, would you be glorified both now and forever and ever and evermore. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you go in peace today? You're dismissed.